Perhaps if you're like many Catholics I know, you have a Bible and you kind of know that you probably should do something with it and maybe even read it, but you're just not sure how to go about that. Again, join the club. I remember when I was a younger man, I'd go on a retreat or something in high school and they'd talk about the Bible. The Bible, I'm like, oh yeah, I should read the Bible. And then you like what you open it up and like, okay, I'll read this section, and you're like, I have no idea what I just read, and then you put it down and you give up. I think that's probably typical, or maybe it's, I'm gonna read the whole Bible, and you start at the beginning and you just slog through, and maybe you give up when it gets boring, or maybe you persevere and you still have very little idea what's going on. So what exactly do we do with the Bible? I think first we got to know what are we trying to achieve. There's different ways that we can approach the Bible. Do I want to read the Bible just to get a grasp of the big picture, the whole thing? Okay, that's one thing to do, but that's not the same as studying the Bible. Studying the Bible would be I'm going to use a commentary. I'm going to use a Bible study. I'm going to read the footnotes. I'm going to try to get into, the original intention of the author and how the original hearers would have heard this passage. And I'm taking a whole book and I'm really grappling with it. That'd be a studying the Bible. You can do that alone. You can do that with a group of people. You can do that in a class. You can listen to online things. Form.org has different things. And that's great. It's a beautiful way to get to know the scriptures better. There's also memorizing scripture. We just, like I have these passages memorized, I don't have a lot of passages memorized. I tend towards the St. Paul method, where he just says, somewhere in scripture says, and then you paraphrase the best you can. But I do have a handful of scripture passages memorized, not necessarily verse and chapter and book though. And I don't think that's necessary either. The verses and chapters are, in a certain sense, arbitrary. They were added well into the Middle Ages. But that's a different thing too. Like, yeah, I have certain things memorized, and I know certain passages by heart. That can be really helpful. It can be helpful for prayer, actually. But even yet, we haven't begun to pray with Scripture. And I really want to talk about praying with Scripture, because this is something that it took me a long, long time to figure out. I remember when I was newly into my serious walk with the Lord, I had just done Net Ministries, where I had learned how to pray every single day. Every single day, I committed at least a half an hour of personal prayer time, which included Scripture. And so I'd been doing that for about a year or so, and now I was working on Net Ministries staff with a bunch of people who had been following the Lord for a very long time, who had been praying daily for decades. And I remember hearing a fella just sharing about his prayer life, and he said, I've been stuck with this one verse for the last several weeks, or maybe even the last several months. And I thought to myself, one verse? He's just reading one verse for weeks and months on end. But that was his prayer. He was just reading and rereading that one verse and sitting with it. And that's where we're really starting to pray with Scripture. I think our biggest problem, my biggest problem, is a tendency to want to get through this section, or get through this chapter, or get through the Bible. But again, that there might be a place for that. I'm going to read the Gospels for Lent, just straight through. Okay, that could be a great devotion, a great discipline. You're gonna grow. You're gonna learn a lot. But what we're doing in prayer is not a head knowledge. So it's not memorizing. It's not getting the big picture by reading the whole thing. It's not studying and trying to understand better. It's allowing the scripture to penetrate your heart. And you can't do that in big chunks. You can only do that in small little pieces. So when you set out for prayer, we talked about in the last video or the last audio, to commit to the time and just keep showing up. That's the most important thing. Know when you're going to pray, know where you're going to pray, know how long you're going to pray, know what you're going to do for prayer. And if you've decided, many of you probably have, I need to incorporate scripture into my prayer. Well, what I would recommend not doing is say, I'm going to read one chapter of, you know, whatever for my prayer. That's not going to be very helpful. Again, if we're trying to study, if we're trying to do something else, great. If we're trying to pray, it's not going to be helpful for our prayer because it's just too much. And so we want to take little sections, you know. So I always recommend if you open up your scripture, and most Bibles have the nice, like, you know, black heading and, you know, little chapter headings, and those can be helpful. Don't read more than that. That's it. There's one black heading to the next black heading. That's your prayer time. And if you've committed to 15 minutes, then spend 15 minutes with that short little section. Read it. Reread it. Reread it. Sit with it. See if anything jumps out at you. If something is confusing to you, maybe just pass it over, because again, we get stuck in our head. I think that's one mistake we can commonly make. Well, what is that? What does that mean? I don't get that. No, if it's too cerebral, then move on to something else. And we want to get to something that just kind of just trigger something in our heart. We just feel it. Maybe we feel convicted by it. Maybe we feel consoled by it. Maybe we feel encouraged by it. That's when the scripture is actually speaking to you. That's when it's doing something more than just being something that St. Paul said to some group of people some many, many years ago. Now it's something that God just said to you right this moment. And if God speaks, then we want to listen. And so if it might be, oh, I thought I heard something, I just want to stay with that. And it might mean putting the Bible down and pondering, ruminating, kind of looking at it from afar. It might mean putting yourself into the scene that the scripture is unfolding and allowing it to become real for you. I can tell you, when I've done this, and many times you won't, nothing will, like, nothing, literally nothing's jumping off the page at me. And that can be okay too. And at those times, you can simply close the Bible and sit, thank the Lord, or go back to a scripture passage that has spoken to you before. But many, many times I've been reading scripture and something just hits me. One, for instance, I was reading from Luke chapter 4. This is the great catch of fish, the beginning of the gospel. And Peter falls on his knees. Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. The Lord says, come and follow me. And I was going through something in my own life at that time where I just felt like I just kept coming up empty and kept coming up empty and kept coming up empty. And as I'm reading that passage, I felt like the Lord said to me, throw your nets in again. Throw your nets in again. And I felt like I had. And then I felt like I was on, like, okay, this is the path that the Lord has for me. And then the Lord said, okay, you see what I can do? Now come and follow me. And for me, in that time of my life, I was like, but Lord, you gave me the thing that I thought you wanted me to have, and now you're asking me to leave it? He said, yeah. I mean, that was how it unfolded. same thing, another instance, I was praying with John chapter 21, and this is where Peter is following Jesus. He's just heard him say, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And then he starts following him, and he looks behind him, and John is behind him, and he says, "What about him?" And Jesus says, "What about him? I ask you to follow me." And I was praying with this passage as well, and I felt like I was there, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, I'm following." And then I asked him the same thing, like, what about this? What about that person?" And he goes, "Yeah, what about that person? I'm asking you to follow me." And in those moments, when the Lord is speaking, it's just very clear that, okay, this is what I have to do. There's also been times where just a simple passage will come, whether it's a time of real discouragement or fear, and maybe it's just, you know, for me again, the passage that would come to me was just John chapter 15. Jesus is in the garden. They're on the way to the garden. They're passing the vineyard. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Remain in me." And that passage alone, that would be my prayer some days. Just remain in me. I'd find myself wanting to get riled up, frustrated, afraid, wanting to run, wanting to go and fix something. And the Lord just keeps saying that, "Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. Kyle, are you remaining in me? Hey, no, I know there's other things going on. Remain in me." Other times, passages from the Psalms, just like one verse. There's one verse that I'll come back to again and again that's, "Through the greatness of your love, I have access to your house, O Lord." Oh, there's a lot there. And to stay with that, and don't go on. Again, our temptation, "Well, I gotta finish the Psalm." No, you don't. You can stay right there. "Well, I got to figure out how it fits in context with everything." Nope, you don't. If you're studying scripture, then you might have to do that. But if you're just praying with scripture, then you stay there. So wherever the Lord is speaking, wherever it's connecting, from when it's going from head to heart, that's when we stay. That's when we started praying, and then we just stay, just remain. So how do you pick what scripture you're going to pray with? That can be the other thing. And here's another mistake that we can commonly make. Raise your hand if you've done this. I've certainly done this. What should I pray with today? Okay. "Better is childlessness with virtue, for immortal is its memory, because both by God is it acknowledged by men." Great. You know, you don't play Bible roulette, because you're going to end up somewhere that is not entirely helpful. Now, there have been cases in the history of the church and some saints who have done this, and the Lord has used it to speak to them. Sometimes it's not exactly what they wanted to hear at that moment, but that's not a great way to pray. Might be, "Hey, for Lent, I'm going to pray with the Gospel of John, and I'm going to pray with it. That means I'm not going to try to get through the entirety of it. I'm going to pray with it." And so I might slowly, reflectively, out loud even, if you can, read, starting from the first chapter of John, and go until you stop. Like, I mean, so go until something hits you. But you have to be praying with, "I'm looking for gold. I'm not looking for the end of the tunnel." So you might be, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, I'm just staying right there. But the Word, what, he was with him, he is God. I might just have a sense of awe, like, wow, God's plan. Just stay with that. Allow that to be the conversation that you have with the Lord. Whatever wells up in your heart, is it gratitude? Then thank the Lord. Is it conviction? Then ask the Lord for follow through. Is it sorrow? Then repent to the Lord. Whatever he brings up, then that's the rest of your prayer. If he doesn't bring up anything, if nothing triggered, nothing jumped out at you at that first verse, well, then keep reading. Read the second verse, read the third verse, keep going. I think it would be very hard to read very far in John without having something that's going to hit you. So don't go past the first black heading. Go back and reread, and then reread, and then reread. And if still nothing comes up, then just set the Bible down and sit in the Lord's presence. The presence of the Word. He's present in His Word. So I don't want to belabor the point. I don't think we need to go on and on. The goal then is short passages. Maybe another helpful place to go is the readings of the day. Every day there's mass readings, and you can read those readings. Pick one of them. So I'm gonna be doing the first reading, or I'm gonna be praying with the gospel, and just take that little section and read that. Don't try to do everything. The other thing, I mean, there's books of the Bible that are more conducive to prayer than others. You can pray with anything, and there's passages all over the place where you know, the saints have found profit from, even in their spiritual and prayer life, and you can as well. But if we're just starting out, I think the passages that we're more familiar with, the passages that are more visual, like the Gospels, are really helpful. And then the letters of St. Paul are also really helpful, because he's speaking primarily to brand new Christians. He's speaking to people like us who are just trying to figure it out. And that can be a good place. Now, we could get stuck with like, well, who are the Corinth, and what are they talking about here? And like, okay, if that's the section you're in, move on to where he's a little bit more exhortatory. So small sections, stay with it. And like I said, this man that I knew, if there's a passage, a single passage that's feeding you, you find communion in, stay there. And next day for your prayer, come back to that place, and then come back to that place again and again and again and again. And you don't need to go any further. If the Lord is speaking in the first words of the Gospel of John, you don't need to go on to the second. Hope that's helpful. God bless.